Before that, we have a very, very special guest. Her name is Michelle Bachmann. Now, Michelle Bachmann is the congresswoman from Minnesota, and she is also the founder of the Tea Party Caucus. Thank you so much for being with us. It's an honor and a privilege.
Thank you, Ty. It's a thrill to be on your show today.
Thank you. Let's start with Japan. Tell me your thoughts on Japan, where you think we are, and if you were advising the president, what would you tell him to do?
Well, I think I would tell him get engaged, because I think that's what we've seen from the president in the last few weeks. It seems like he's just not engaged. He's spending more time filling out the basketball brackets than he is involved in the happenings in the world. We're at a rigorous time now with instability in the Middle East region and a terrible tragedy going on for the people of Japan. And we need to be engaged. I do appreciate the fact that we do have aircraft carriers in the region, and I think that appropriate steps have been taken to pull back our military from getting too close to the particular nuclear power plant. But I just think that it's very important right now that the president stay engaged, and we're not getting that sense from him.
No, it doesn't feel that way at all. And as we look at this, and they're saying that the problem with the nuclear power plant there is worse than Three Mile Island and not quite as bad as Chernobyl. How do you think that affects the development of nuclear power here in the U.S.?
Well, if you consider Three Mile Island was actually a case study in how our system, the fail-safe systems, work. We did not have a tragedy, thankfully, in this country, and we averted a tragedy because we had the systems in place to be able to do that. Unlike Chernobyl in Russia, where they were not following the same rigorous standards that we do in the United States, I think on one side what this points up is that we have to be very careful in maintaining the nuclear power plants. We have to know what the appropriate steps are to ensure the public safety. But at the same time, we also recognize from an ecological point of view, there is a zero emissions that come from nuclear power. France derives approximately 80% of all power from nuclear power. It's historically had a very safe, positive history all across the world. Now, of course, we understand this particular power plant in Japan was located on what is called the Pacific Ring of Fire, where the earthquakes occur. And because the earthquakes and because of the water levels from the tsunamis, that's why we saw the extraordinary disaster and tragedy that has come from that. So I think in regions that are considered safe for nuclear power, I think we should not be dissuaded from continuing nuclear power, but certainly in unstable regions, we need to do a more thorough review to make sure that something like this does not occur in the United States.
Let me ask you this. We're talking about power, and obviously right now as a country, we don't have a coherent energy policy. We really don't have a policy at all. What in your view, what is a coherent energy policy at home and abroad look like?
Well, a coherent policy would be one that engages all of the above. America is an energy-rich nation. A lot of Americans don't realize that. We think that we are dependent on many other countries for our sources of energy.
Right.
But we have a tremendous amount of oil. As a matter of fact, in just three states, Colorado, Utah, and Wyoming, we have more shale oil than all of Saudi Arabia. And we have been prohibited from bringing that oil to market. We also have oil, as you know, in Anwar, the Bakken oil field in North Dakota.
Right.
We have many untapped oil reserves all across in the East Gulf Coast region, the Pacific, and also the Atlantic. We know that only one permit has been given by the administration since President Obama came into power. We also know that they have closed down a coal mine after a company had put well over $200 million into getting the coal mine ready, and after they had met all of the EPA requirements, they were shut down by the administration. And what we're seeing is the administration is taking a tack that is keeping America from utilizing our American energy resources. We will have both high-paying jobs and independence from foreign sources of energy, and we'll see a reduction in the cost of energy in the United States if we would embark on an all-of-the-above energy strategy where we say yes to natural gas, to oil, to coal, to all the forms of energy that we have in the United States. That would be good for the American people.
What a great idea. Actually utilize the resources we have available. I've heard experts say, several of them say, we have a 200-year supply of oil right in the United States available to us. We're just not using it. So I completely agree with what you're saying.
Yes, and I'll tell you, this is an area that we could spend several hours on because we have such good news in this area, very good news. And part of the problem with the United States and our inability to create more jobs has to do with the fact that government policies through either regulatory burdens or high tax burdens has made it very difficult to access American energy. And again, we will see a tremendous change in our country, high-paid jobs, because we need to start making things in the United States again. That's part of our problem. We're seeing manufacturing fleeing the United States. Part of that is because access to energy and the high cost of energy are driving manufacturers to other countries. Because China certainly isn't shy about bringing online coal plants, nuclear power plants. We need to do the same in the United States. But, of course, we do it better, and we do it safer, and we do it more efficiently. And I'm just calling on the Obama administration, particularly the EPA, to embrace common sense policies rather than being captive of the radical left.
That amazes me. And you've been very good to give us your time today. So I want to move on here. All right. This is the Ty J. Young Show. And we're talking today to Michelle Bachmann. She is the Republican congresswoman from Minnesota and founder of the Tea Party Caucus. Obamacare. I've seen you do a number of different interviews over the last couple of weeks with your $105 billion you found in Obamacare that was slid in there in the dark of night. And you're out there trying to get Obamacare defunded. Tell us about that. How did they get that done? And what can we do about it?
Well, as you know, Speaker Pelosi famously said we have to pass the bill to know what's in it.
What a crock.
The reason for that is because members of Congress were not allowed to read the bill in a meaningful way before we had to vote on it. It was literally just hours before we voted on the bill before we were able to see it. These are thousands of pages long. They're written in gobbledygook. They're almost impossible to understand. But tucked in the bill, and people, I urge people to go to my Facebook site, Michelle Bachmann. We have all the details up there. We show all of the places in the bill where the $105.5 billion was tucked in. As you recall, there were no radio shows, TV shows, print media. There was no discussion that a vote for Obamacare would also be a vote for $105.5 billion to fund and implement Obamacare. The way it works in Washington, you create a program like Obamacare called an authorization, but you have to pass a second bill called an appropriation to pay for it. That wasn't done. Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid snuck this money in, and they put it in little pieces here and there so that people couldn't find it, and they put the money in. That is wrong. That's a fraud against the American people, against the Senate, against the House members. How can you possibly, with a straight face, ask people to vote for a bill and not tell them a material part of the bill that $105 billion is tucked in it? That's wrong. That's why we had an opportunity this week on the continuing resolution to defund Obamacare. That route was not taken. We have another opportunity with the vote on raising the debt ceiling. And there, I believe that we should insist that we include language that would pull back that $105 billion so that Barack Obama can't implement socialized medicine.
Now, can we repeal Obamacare? Do you think it's possible to repeal it in the next 2 years? Is that possible if we put enough political pressure on the Congress and on the Senate? Is that possible, do you think?
The repeal is not possible as long as Barack Obama is president of the United States. However, defunding it, because of the fraudulent way they put this $105 billion in the bill, and of course they did that because they wanted what they wanted.
Right.
They didn't care what the American people wanted. They wanted what they wanted. So what they did, in effect, they have enough money between now and 2019, that's 8 more years, to continue to implement socialized medicine unless we pull it back. And so what they tried to do is neutralize the next elections for the next 8 years. Think of that.
Isn't that nice?
They wanted to thwart the will of the voters for the next 8 years by keeping it funded. And so we won't be able to repeal Obamacare in all likelihood until once we defeat Barack Obama as President of the United States. But there are opportunities that we have with the House in Republican hands to defund Obamacare. And I think we should move with all deliberate speed and do everything we can. This week alone, has the highest level of Americans, not conservatives, not Republicans, but Americans who want to see us get rid of Obamacare. 62% of all Americans, the highest number. I think we have the highest number because we've been talking about this issue for the last several weeks. The more we talk about this, the more people want us to get rid of Obamacare.
In the unlikely event, I think this is very unlikely, but in the unlikely event that Republicans and conservatives are not able to get the majority in the Senate, and I think that'll happen, but if not, are we stuck with Obamacare?
We will be. Well, we have to change the White House. That's why we have to win the Triple Crown in 2012.
I like that.
We have to put a president in. I would like to see us run our numbers up to 60 conservatives in the Senate and have the House majority, and then the first plan of action would be to repeal Obamacare lock, stock, and barrel. Just send it out the door. And then from there, we have to get the spending and the debt under control. We have a lot of work to do, but it would be fun. It would be fun to do it, because to get our country back on a track where it works again, that would be a thrill to see job creation, businesses growing up, cities growing, housing starting again, people are able to sell their house and move on and get better jobs. That would be a thrill to see that happen. Unfortunately, it won't under a Barack Obama, Harry Reid leadership, but it will if we can put constitutional conservatives into office.
You know, I love your enthusiasm. I do. Tell me this. How can we effectively communicate to the American people just how dire our financial situation is? I mean, we do these treasury auctions, and other countries come in, and other people come in, and they buy our treasuries. Well, Japan's not going to be buying our treasuries anymore. And at some point, when folks don't buy those treasuries, effectively, our credit card's going to get declined as a country. I mean, that's a dire situation. And why many of your colleagues haven't got the memo on how dire this situation is, I don't know. I'd love to hear your thoughts there.
Well, that's true. The spending is out of control. We hear that word frequently. But we literally are going off the cliff with spending and with debt accumulation, such that our children, my 24-year-old, for instance, will have a much reduced standard of living. By his peak earning years, he could be looking at 75% of his income going for taxation. That's we have never seen.
Did you say 75%?
I'm a former federal tax lawyer, and I've done some research into this. If you take just the portion that he would have to pay on Social Security and to satisfy Medicare, if we don't reform these programs, and if we take his federal income tax rate, combine that with his state and local tax rates, sales tax, gas tax, you're looking at, I believe, 75% of his income. That has never been heard of before. Our parents didn't saddle us with that level of debt. We literally are having a party at the expense of our children. And so we have to turn this around. We can't indulge ourselves in the fantasy of thinking we can continue to issue checks to people who aren't paying into the system and think that this is going to work. 60% of all Americans receive some sort of a government check. That is, and only 53% of all Americans pay any form of federal tax whatsoever. The top 1% of income earners in the United States pay 40% of all taxes. The top 5% of all income earners pay 60% of all taxes. So I'm really tired of Barack Obama saying the top 2% of income earners aren't paying their fair share. They're paying half of all taxes in the country. They are paying more than their fair share. What we need to do is broaden the base so everyone is paying something, because today 47% of all Americans pay zero federal income tax, and yet they're receiving checks from the government. So we need to get our house in balance, our house in order, and we can do a lot better than we're doing now.
If you had your way, if you could have your way, how much would you cut out of the budget in the next 12 months?
Well, probably $1.65 trillion.
Good for you.
That's the amount of deficit that we'll accumulate this year, and that means we're adding to the problem. Again, we're not a lean, mean machine with our federal government. We're not miserly. We spend a lot of money. But to do that, we need to institute reforms, and we need to stop a lot of these wasteful, redundant programs.
You know what? I love that. $1.6 trillion. That's exactly what we need. You know what? Let me ask you this. It sounds like that you're somebody that could maybe get this job done. Are you going to run for president?
Well, I'm traveling to the early primary states to talk to the voters about the awesome responsibility they have, because primary voters in four states will decide our nominee. That will be a crucial individual. I haven't made a decision if I'm putting my name into the ring or if I won't put my name into the ring. I think a natural progression of time dictates that a person will have to make a decision like that sometime this summer. And so I anticipate that sometime this summer I'll have to make a decision, either I'm in or either I'm out. But right now I'm going to these early primary states to talk about the kind of individual we need, because I believe we need someone to challenge Barack Obama who understands the times that we live in, who knows what to do about them, who has good, positive solutions, and three, has the political courage to make the tough decisions that have to be made, even if that means they only serve as a one-term president. Because we really need to get serious and take action right now. We have a small window of opportunity. It's called 2012, and I think that is our chance to take our country back and make it work again. So I'm looking forward to that.
So am I. And there's three guys in the studio right now that are rooting for you to throw your hat in the ring, just so you know. And if folks want to find out more about you, make contributions, do that sort of thing, how would they do that?
Well, they would make contributions at my website, which is michellebachmann.com. That's my campaign website. So go to michellebachmann.com, one L in Michelle, two N's in Bachmann. And then also I encourage people to go to my Facebook site, Michelle Bachmann, and sign up and become a Facebook friend, because I have continual daily updates on the Facebook site of the latest things that are happening here in Washington. People really need to be paying attention right now, and it's free. It's available to anyone, but come to my website, because I have all sorts of information, especially about how we can defund and defeat Obamacare. Mm.
It has been an honor and a privilege to have you here. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day and rescheduling to accommodate us. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks again. I appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
You are a great American, no doubt about that. All right, we're coming up on a hard break here.